Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us to help shape your worldview so that in the midst of a world that seems to have gone mad, we can follow the God of the Bible and think as he wants us to think, taking captive every thought. Today, we have a wonderful guest, Johnny. Welcome. It is a delight to have you here.
Nice to be back, Rob.
And you wrote an article on AI, and there's been so much going on about AI. What is AI?
Artificial intelligence. It's been something that's been brewing in the world of computers for decades, really. And we see it all over the things. And when you speak into your phone and you say something to Siri or Hey Google or whatever you do, that's artificial intelligence, putting stuff together that it's been taught and programmed to do and scanning the internet to find the information for you and bring it to your very behest.
So there's been changes in the last few months or perhaps longer than that, where people have come out and said, this is dangerous. This is dangerous for humanity. And then all sorts of other things going on. And I've even read that the new AI can teach itself to think, which is very interesting. So if Siri can think and Siri doesn't like me very much, I could be in trouble and end up in the wrong place.
If you watch any science fiction at all, you'll also encounter where they can believe that computers can begin to feel as well. If you've ever watched the movie iRobot with Will Smith, you get a sense of this. Isaac Asimov, I believe, is the author of the original book. But you get this sense that, it's human now because it's got the sense of feeling. And really, then, what is feeling? What is emotion? Can a computer find some way of simulating or actually understanding what human emotion is? So that's the question that's been on the table
a long
time.
So really, I suppose, which we weren't going to cover in this podcast, what is a human? And can a computer or a AI be human? And I suppose there's been other movies on that as well. I haven't seen a whole lot of them. Kind of science fiction is not my favorite style of movie. I tend to like golf and hockey and those sort of things. But yeah, it's very interesting. And so I thought for our congregation, it'd be good to learn how to think about this. Maybe in the overall context, and then specifically in the context of what it means for worship ministry, because we've been seeing a lot of things come down the pipe on, you can get it to write songs. In fact, you had a few songs written. You want to just, before we get in the bigger picture, share some of the things you're learning there.
The big thing that people have been doing recently is say, hey, write me, just to test chat GPT out, write me a song in the style of whatever, Hillsong, Chris Tomlin, or whatever. And one of the ones that we tried to do was our colleague, Mitch Jansen, who's our worship associate here. He's written some songs, and we sing some of them here. And we asked it to write a song in his style, and also I've written some songs, and we asked in my style. What we found was that the phrases were very similar in the song. It was picking out the sort of most used phrases in a lot of worship songs that it sees on the internet, whatever site it's going to. And it, you know, the very biblical phrases, and it all sounds really good. And then you get in Mitchell's chorus to his song. This was probably the most impressive thing here. And I don't know what to do with this, but it says, "You're the author of my story. Oh, I lift my voice in praise to the one who set me free. Jesus, you're my savior. You're the source of all I need. In your presence, I find peace. In your arms, I'm held secure. Mitchell Jansen, I adore you now and forevermore."
So you better hope that this is Catherine writing this as a worship song to God, honoring her husband.
Somehow.
I found that too. We played around with it a little bit. And what we found is it does very well, and then it gets certain little things wrong.
Yeah.
Now, this is still dangerous because if you're a smart student that wants to cheat, you could get it to write your papers and then finish up. You just go through it, you correct it or things like that. So it has created some chaos for the education world.
Yeah, and especially in a world of cyber teaching where you do everything online. If I was back in my classroom at Trinity Western, I think I would probably spend the first day asking them to write an in-class handwritten paper, two paragraphs on, and give them a topic, collect all those, find out what their writing style is and their language capabilities. And then when they hand in papers, you've got something to compare it to. So you can tell it's either A, not plagiarized, or B, not written by AI.
Well, that sounds like a lot of extra work. I just mark the papers, give my students A's, and we move on. That's why they love me as a teacher. You know, I get graded very well because I grade well. You just got to figure out how it works. So I just let AI mark my papers. And big picture, I think where the struggles have been coming is, what is truth? The deep fake things going on. There was a Tom Cruise fake that kind of started it all off. And what I understand now is, in fact, I was listening to a podcast this morning on this, and one of the podcasters said they had the voiceovers do a podcast for them, come up with the entire thing, And he played it for his wife, and his wife said she couldn't tell the difference between what was real and what was AI generated. Fascinating. So we're going to start to discover, and I suppose we've been there for a long time, what is truth?
Yeah.
What is coming from AI? What is coming from false news? What is coming from the internet?
Yeah.
We've struggled with this for a little while, but I think this intensifies that struggle. How can we trust what we see? How can we trust what we hear if it might not be true?
Well, we've been through the era of the development of Photoshop and yes. all of the things that happened. Then we've got the face in the hole kind of thing that came out a while back. And all of this is similar. It's levels of artificial intelligence that's doing it for you. And there are some ways in which AI can help you with photo editing and various other things to do a lot of stuff so much quicker than we could by going pixel by pixel by pixel with a little cyber pencil or whatever we use. But at the same time, there is just a sense that when do we know that something is a fraud or not? And I've seen a couple of these AI videos using somebody, you know, very famous, saying something you know they would never say.
Yes.
So what do you do about that? Will this at
some point?
And
it looks real.
It does. It really does. And the voice is very, very, very similar. So at this point, will there be a time down the line where this will become inadmissible as evidence in a court of law, where you now actually have to only rely on the testimony of the person who is there who said they saw this?
Yeah, I think it's coming, or at least they'll have to figure out ways to test it. Our creative genius told me that if they have 3 or 4 seconds of my voice, they can create a whole persona, however they want me to say, whatever they want me to say, that sounds identical to me and would be impossible to tell the difference. In fact, how do we know, Johnny, that you're actually here and this just an AI-generated Johnny?
Well, this is a question for the ages. This morning on the way in here to the office, I was listening to an interview with Paul McCartney, who mentioned that there's a new Beatles song being released in which they captured John Lennon's voice from a demo tape that had him and his acoustic guitar, and they asked AI to eliminate the sound of the acoustic guitar and only keep his voice, and they were able to keep his voice, and now they have a track that they can put in, build a song around, and they have John Lennon appearing with Paul McCartney in a Beatles song 40-something years after he's been dead.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I've heard they can even get him to sing other words that he doesn't actually sing by matching all of the tones and all of those things.
Exactly.
I'm so musical, I could tell you all of those, but it'd be too technical for you. So it's creating some certainly creative problems, right. I think is what I hear you talking about. So can you share anything more about that?
All right. So a few artists have been up in arms because somebody could go to AI and say, create me a song with the style and voice of said artist. And they do that. They release it as a work by that artist, but they're the ones apparently getting all the royalties for it because it's their creative work. They instigated it, they envisioned it, and they used the tool to do this. I mean, in some senses, there are musical tools, computer-based tools, which can create a lot of random music for you, and even tools within certain composing things on computers where you ask it to do this type of drum beat, and you just loop all these drum beats together, and it has automatic drum fills that come in at the end of the 8 measures, and you can tell it, I'd like shorter fills, more complex fills, and suddenly you have an AI drummer sounding, you know, 75-90% as good as most drummers. Now, you'll really tell the difference once you hear a real drummer versus what an AI drummer is.
But probably in short time, that will not be the case.
It could be. And we especially for 40-odd years now, we've had drum machines and whatnot. And people, as long as it's got a beat, they don't care who's playing it. They don't care if it was computer-generated or whether there's a person behind the drum kit that they've recorded. But there's a sense that what is the real stuff being? Can it be used? Can AI be a tool? It's a piece of technology in the end. Can it be used for good? Obviously, we think and we've heard that it could be used for bad things, but I think the inventors of every technology believe it's going to be for the good. When they developed the concept of radiation and the nuclear fission, it was to create energy. It wasn't imagined that it would create a life-endangering, planet-endangering weapon as it did in the mid-20th century. And we still live under the shadow of that in many ways. But yet, nuclear power has provided so many things for people, radiation treatment for cancer patients. You have these other spin-offs in which the actual thing or process can be used in different ways. And it's, you know, like we are both In our humanity, we have the sort of imago Dei, but also we are fallen, and we might lean in both ways.
I like what you're saying. So you would look at AI and say there's some positive things that could come from it. Certainly the evil can use it for evil as well, and I think that's helpful. So what are some of the positives?
Well, you've got positives in that, well, take for instance, businesses who want to present themselves well. And maybe you're a small business owner and you want to write a great ad to put on your website, but you don't have the language skills. You could ask AI to craft something for you, and there you go. You have something which shows your business in a very good light. And you know, there's a very, in my mind, a very positive use of something like AI.
So it can do some research for you, can do some presentation stuff for you.
Oh, for sure.
Can save you some resources and take
time.
Some jobs, I suppose.
It might do. In the grand scheme of things, every time there's been a technological advancement that has taken jobs away, have generally moved sideways to another area.
Yeah.
And so we might see the same thing happening.
Yeah, I guess we don't know.
But I know, I'm no futurist, by the way, so I don't know why you're asking me on this interview.
Well, but I am not a futurist either, so we can just pretend we're prophetic together and be a little pathetic, and that works. So I'm wondering also some of the negatives, and I've worked through some as well, but what are some of the negatives you see to AI?
Embracing it as a be-all, end-all, I think, is one of the things. Obviously, the fraud aspect of it is good. The bad is it might make us lazy.
I think that's a huge one.
And in terms of creativity, there is something in humanity that wants to be creative and that longs to share that creativity with somebody. And you just have to look at your children or your grandchildren when they make a little painting or they create little something out of Lego blocks and they come and bring it to you with a big smile on their face. I made this.
One of the greatest paintings I've ever seen is one Eloise did for
me.
So
there you go.
Not just for the child, but for the grandparent.
Oh, yeah. Took me years to take down all the school art off our fridge
now
after
you better
our kids
get some
grew
back
up,
up right, Grandpa? Come on now.
It's coming. It's coming.
I think for me, the greatest problem we will have is how do we define what truth is? And really coming out of what we've just come through the last 4 or 5 years, but way beyond, how do we know what truth is? Really back to the pilot question. And I think it's going to have to drive us back to trusting in God's word and then more personal contact. I also think it can remove personal contact. If you can go to AI and get what you used to be able to get from humans, it will have to be something we're at least aware of and make sure the human touch is still there.
I think the humanity aspect of it is really important. We are always trying to use the scriptures as our yardstick, our canon of what is truth, and all truth is reflected then from what God says in his word. So if we can use that as a rule of law or as a measure, I think that the things that go on in society, we can hold them up against that to say yes, no, maybe,
yeah.
Neutral. And we think of how the church has dealt with technology historically.
Yeah.
If you go back, what instrumentation, if you're looking simply biblically, what instruments we should use?
Guitar.
They had lyres. So
no,
you
no,
might
not
say
liars. Like, just so people are listening, that's not L-I-A-R-S.
That's
it's guitars.
L-Y-R-E.
It's G-U-T-A-I-R-S. Not electric, though. They were acoustic.
But it would have to be acoustic. No, they had lyres. They had stringed instruments back in the Psalms, but they didn't have pianos. They did not have organs. And in the Middle Ages, when those instruments became more popular in musical circles, they were incorporated into the church. And I'm sure everybody... many people said, how dare they bring that technology? It's not in the Bible. So what do you do about, you know, rhythm instruments? And we've had many churches who have opposed using drums over the last few decades.
Rightly so. I mean, that's horrifying. Oh, wait a minute. We have drums in our church. I changed my view.
There we go. So, you know, a cultural instrumentation has found its way into church services since the beginning of the church. 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So we have to ask ourselves, you know, other technological things which really changed things in the church. The Gutenberg press put the scriptures in people's hands.
Praise God for that.
Absolutely. And then we, you know,
but again,
spin
was fought
up.
By some in the church.
Oh, it sure was.
The danger of misinterpretation. And some of the dangers they pointed out are legitimate, but the good was so far beyond.
Oh, absolutely. Spinning off from that, you would have had the Book of Common Prayer that was developed by the Church of England.
It's a Baptist prayer. That's good. It's
And then you also had just hymnals.
Anglican, for the record, just because people are listening and might not know. Yes.
That's right. So also hymnals. very important. Now, we've had hymnals in churches for centuries. And then in the 20th century,
we
developed those overhead projector things where somebody scribbled with their handwriting on a clear piece of plastic.
And we got rid of the sacred hymnals. One of the fights we had when I first got here, maybe not a fight, but it was certainly disconcerting to some, was we removed the hymnals.
Yeah.
And it was very problematic for some of the people that the hymnal had become something that they felt very close to. So it is interesting how technology seems to cycle and traditions seem to build. I think what you're saying is so helpful, and that is we need to be aware that the Bible needs to define what we think about things. We need to welcome new technologies, but do so with caution, caution being word saturated. I think it's so important, especially as the groupthink seems to have dominated with the new technologies of communication. There's groupthink, and what I mean by groupthink is kind of silo thinking. This is what I believe about, and if you're a Republican, this is how you think, and if you're a Democrat, this is how you think, and the other side is dumb, and you don't listen to them. I think we need to saturate ourselves with the Word of God, and then listen very carefully to others, evaluating everything we hear by the Word of God. And some of the things in AI that terrify me is that it can be used to shape the thinking of a group. It can make a run on a bank, which isn't so serious to me, but could also then, let's just say you get some AI that develops things against Christianity, and 90% of what they say is good, but the 10% shifts you away from God's Word, and you have the Balaam effect.
So, and what if you have AI creating rhetoric on both sides of an argument?
Exactly.
Until the attentions become so inflamed that we have fighting on the streets.
Yes, which is close to where we're at in some of these debates, right?
Yes.
And some of it is just insane. So I think we have to come back to, if we're looking for solutions to, if we're nervous about what's going on, well, I guess first, most importantly, trust God. God is over all things. Yeah. He's over AI. So don't fear what's going on. Just be aware.
No, this doesn't surprise God.
No, last time I checked, he knew everything that was going to come and every possible possibility.
That's right.
And then I think that what we're both saying is train your mind so that you're biblical and that you stay with the Word of God being your definer of reality and not culture. I think sometimes when culture defines reality, we end up fighting and we end up lying and we end up doing all sorts of things, thinking we're on God's side, but creating chaos.
And this is what you, when we mentioned Romans 12, 2, you know, be transformed in the renewing of your mind that you may discern what is good and right, the perfect will of God.
Yes.
And we only do that by being in His Word, by regularly feeding on it and letting it cleanse our mind from all the many messages that we get from all sorts of media and people around us. And once again, well, who's speaking the truth? Let's go back and measure everything against what we see scripturally.
Yeah, whether that's AI or human.
Yeah.
So you get a Matt Redman song, measure it. You get an AI Matt Redman song. If you get a Mitch song, I would recommend you just throw it away. I don't want to, unless of course it's Mitch's wife, then it'd be okay.
Yeah.
I think too, the human touch is so important, the community.
Right.
We've seen a drift from that in our culture, and as technologies advance and people work from home and all sorts of other things happening, we're seeing a less human contact. I actually think AI will move us in that direction as well. So as a church, I think we need to go out of our way to create or be a part of the community that God wants us to be.
It's fascinating in a post-COVID culture where people got very comfortable just engaging with church services online.
Yes.
Many churches are encouraging their people back in to the point that they're stopping their live streaming to encourage people back. Now, we understand that there are shut-ins, people who cannot get physically to the church building, and we want to honor that somehow. And so wherever your church lands on that, that's an ecclesiological decision you make. But we want people to reengage, because when they come back, they suddenly realize, oh, I've missed this. And what did they miss? The fellowship of the saints.
Totally. And you're a part of giving and receiving.
Yes.
Church is not receiving a message. It's
right.
Not listening to music. It's engaging in exalting God together and engaging in hearing the word, but it's also using your gifts to serve one another.
That's right. You're not
a church if you're listening online. I think it's also our homes. We found at Cloverdale Baptist that growth groups are no longer meeting in homes nearly as much as they used to.
Mm.
Some are still online, interestingly enough, and some have moved to the church. So there's just been this general, anyway, I rather than complain about that, I'll just to say we need the human touch, and that is so important. And opening our lives, whatever that means, I'm not arguing you have to open your home, but you have to open your life to other Christians, and there needs to be a personal touch. And AI could at least threaten that a little bit and create more loneliness and isolation, so we need to fight it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, AI is meant to be utilized like any technology as a tool to serve and better our lives. But it must be kept in perspective that we are the Imago Dei. We're made in God's image.
Yes.
And we bear his fingerprint. We need to reflect that in the way that we relate with one another and even not allow AI to get rid of that fellowship, of that koinonia that we have, that self-giving to one another.
So one positive, one negative to finish our podcast. The positive is I can write songs almost as good as Johnny now just by entering in, write a song to ChatGPT. What is it called? ChatGPT?
ChatGPT.
There you go. Look it up online and just say, write me a song in Johnny Markin style, and then go through and make sure you edit a little bit just in case it says I adore Johnny Markin or something like that, and then send it in and see if you can make some money on it.
Well, I mean, if you're like the person who asked GPT to write a song in the worship style of Matt Redman, the chorus came out, with every breath I take, with every song I raise. Sounds like Mitch's song, by the way. Yeah, lift your name on high, my love and worship ablaze. Forever I'll adore you, my savior and my king. In the style of Matt Redman, my heart will forever sing.
And just for those who are listening that like Matt Redman, that is not true. We'll sing in a different style. It'll be Rob Goddard style in heaven. So I think to say there is things we can do that we couldn't do before. I wrote, our son Ryan went to Calgary, he kind of did the journey in reverse of what I did, and we wrote him poems on ChatGPT, and they were wonderful. Mm. They expressed our heart. We had to change a few lines, but it was a lot of fun for us to do. I think so. From a positive perspective, it can be used to help you shape your thinking. From a negative perspective, it can make you lazy. You brought that up. It can cause you actually a sin by cheating and using someone else's work and claiming it as your own. I think it can also create fear. So just to remind people, we've been studying 1 Peter 4. The end is near. If that's true, and there's some on AI that are saying, even the creators of it, this could be the end of humanity. These things think, they whatever, and they're creating all this fear. I think the reality of the end is near is true, but we should be a little less concerned about what the world is saying about that and a little more concerned about what God is saying, and then follow 1 Peter 4. I think we've studied that well. Be holy. Be loving to one another. Yeah. Be those who are praying and self-controlled, and that just live your life for Jesus in community and in love with one another, and you'll accomplish this, and then the other things just kind of slide off. Be aware of them.
Understanding that perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah, last time I checked, that's true. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere?
That is in the Bible.
I love it. Johnny, any last words you want to say in terms of your expertise of worship or even just in general about AI?
It's going to impact our technology in some ways, but it's just another form of technology. Let's not make ourselves slaves to the technology. Let's let technology serve us.
I think that's key. And in that sense, serve God.
Serve God.
Because that's the passion.
That's our goal.
I like that. So don't be a slave to AI. Be a slave to God because you're bought with a price.
Bond servants.
Bond servants. I like that. And then let's remember that God is in control. God is good. He's all wise. This doesn't shock him. So don't be afraid. But make sure you keep your worldview biblical and hope-filled.